In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg, and it's a joy to be with you this morning. I'm talking to pastors in these broadcasts about earnestly contending for the faith, and specifically, contending with compassion. The last time we left you, we said that today we'd be talking about what types of things should we be contending for. And the answer is we should contend for every truth of God. Jesus said, John 17:17, to his Father, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. And so many times we see ourselves just overlooking evil. Just consider the changes that have taken place in your home concerning the type of TV programs and movies that you watch. See, somebody said, first we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, and then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, and then we persecute those who still call it evil. Wow. So we as pastors have a responsibility to contend for every truth of God. Matthew 5:19 says, for whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, so many times we have a tendency to say, well, it's just a little truth. You know, Satan will tell you that they're all little truths. Satan will tell you that none of them are that important. I remember when we were starting a church in Albany, Georgia, we had a realtor showing us around town, and he drove past his home, and he said, now, there's my home. We just finished building it. Said it cost us $1 million. Said, my wife and I made a decision before we started the building project that I would make all the major decisions, and she would make all the minor decisions. He paused. He said, you know, we were able to build that home, and we never had a major decision that had to be made. They were just all minor decisions. You know, that's the way Satan is. Like, well, they're all just little decisions. They're just little truths. You don't have to fight over them. I mean, it's kind of like Satan would say to Moses, go ahead and strike that rock the second time. It'll help the Israelites know how mad you are over their evil ways. See, so many times we rationalize our temper and our anger, and God says, that's not a little truth. Be ye angry and sin not is a commandment. Or, go ahead, Adam, and eat. After all, Eve has eaten, and look, she's not dead. Rationalizing truth. Or Samson telling Delilah his secret for his strength. That wasn't a little truth. That was a major issue. And see, the question is, for what should we contend? Well, first of all, we should contend with wrong doctrine. Many times there are areas where false teachers love to influence us. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 3 tell us that sometimes they want to get us into greater strictness. Stop doing this. Start doing that. You know, the word seducing means to lead to spiritual adultery. It talks about the spiritual warfare. It talks about doctrines about devils. And speaking lies and hypocrisy. In other words, claiming consistency with the Bible. That's what a false teacher will do. He'll claim consistency with the Bible, but won't be consistent. As a result of that, it says that your conscience becomes seared because their consciences are seared, because they're branded with sin's effects. See, that's what happens if we're listening to false teachers. Sometimes they'll forbid food and relationships that God has already blessed. Verses 3 and 4. I know some people will teach vegetarian diets are taught to be God's plan. Yeah, no, not so. Colossians 2:18 where asceticism and visions of angels are to be rejected. See, these are things that false teachers love to kind of get you into, be more strict, more strict, more strict. And what happens? So many times they turn the direction of the church. It's interesting to watch false teachers who often befriend influential people in the church. Remember Absalom, who stole the hearts of all the men of Israel? It's exactly what he did. And teaching self-exaltation. See, their ministry is just as inspired as that of Paul. So it gives them the idea that they can have new insights that men should follow. Read 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 to 15. Teaching self-exaltation. Somebody put it this way, higher learning that leads to lower living. Higher learning that leads to lower living. So what should we be contending with? Error, that which the Bible does not teach. See, the Bible says faith which was once delivered to the saints, verse number 3 in the book of Jude. Literally means once delivered for all, once and for all. In other words, there are no new doctrines that can be added. He said, contend for the doctrines that once and for all were delivered to the saints. See, to offer additional doctrines to the ones delivered by the Lord through the prophets and apostles and inspired scripture will lead you to poison. Oh, this new revelation, this new understanding of the Bible, be very careful when you hear somebody announcing that. So, as pastors, we have to study the scriptures diligently, not just come up with an outline and a couple of poems, but study the scriptures diligently. See, the wisdom that takes just a few minutes to write or speak will take many years to acquire. I'll say that again. The wisdom that takes just a few minutes to write or speak will take years to acquire. And so as a result of that, take the Word of God seriously. It talks about this testimony that was delivered by God to us. It's kind of like a father delivering his daughter to her new husband at the marriage altar. It simply means to be entrusted with. He is now entrusting his daughter into the hands of this new man. It's the same thing. So that's what the Word of God is to us. The Word of God has been entrusted to us. And so there's need for warning and discernment. See, some things we need to argue about. Some people we need to confront. Unbiblical and dangerous positions that need to be exposed with biblical truth. But make sure, pastors, that we don't take the attitude, ready, shoot, aim. No. That we get all the details, that we do all of our study, that we understand the true issues before we speak. Now, verse 4 tells us whom we are contending with. And it talked about those that have turned away from the gospel, the false teachers. For the people in Jude's day, it was the school of Simon, the Gnostics, and others. Their characteristics are described there in verse 4. They were ungodly, they were deceitful, they were enemies, they were turning the grace into lasciviousness, they were deniers of God's truth, they were ordained to judgment. They were apostates. See, not a true believer who abandoned his faith, but a person who professed to accept the truth and trust Christ, and then turned from the faith once delivered to the saints. They were not sheep, but pigs and dogs, described in 2 Peter 2, verses 21 to 22. See, our battles today aren't with Gnostics. Different enemies, different philosophies. And so, how are we as pastors to contend for the faith? Well, Proverbs 26:4 says, don't answer a fool with agreement or silence, because he'll think that he's right. So verse 5 of Proverbs 26 says, rebuke him on the basis of folly and show him the truth so he sees how foolish he is. In other words, using the truth of the Word of God. It's a great thing to study the book of Proverbs to determine what kind of fool he is. I've done a study of the book, and there are five different Hebrew words that are all translated fool. But as you study those Hebrew words, you can see the characteristics of that particular kind of fool and how to deal with that kind of fool. Very interesting study. I would encourage you to do that same study yourself to determine what kind of fool he is and how to biblically respond to him. And we as pastors need to be teaching our children and our grandchildren how to recognize false teachers by the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 14:7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." And we as pastors need to be teaching our children and our teenagers that when you sense that someone is not teaching truth, go from their presence. It doesn't say continue to sit there. It doesn't say enroll in his classes. It says go from their presence. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. That means the trickery, the deceitfulness of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, if our children are being deceived, shouldn't we determine to know how and why? As pastors, it's our responsibility to care for our sheep and know what's leading them astray. See, even good men can be influenced by who they read and hear, for they can easily adopt unbiblical teachings because they highly value the approval of that teacher. We have to be very careful. When we love a teacher so much that we begin to accept whatever he or she may say, no, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. You remember Galatians 2:11? Paul had to confront Peter over his fear of Jewish leaders as they were seeing Peter eating with the Gentiles. Verses 12 to 14, others were carried away with the same fears as they respected Peter so much. You see, even Peter, the godly leader that he was leading people astray because of his fear of disapproval of somebody else. So it's something, if it bothers Peter, if it pulls Peter away from following the Lord completely, it can pull us away as well. We can be influenced by who we read and who we hear. So pastors, be very careful who you read, who you hear, who you're listening to, and compare it with the principles of the Word of God. Now, why are we to contend? Well, as I said, Gnosticism is not a problem for us today, but we have our own issues that are seducing our folks away from the sure Word of God. There's postmodernism. It basically says, well, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Or they say, well, truth is whatever you sincerely believe. That's garbage. But that's what postmodernism teaches. It's kind of like you walk off of a ledge, but you sincerely believe that you won't fall. But gravity will quickly correct your unbelief. See, higher education teaches our young people what's true for you is true for you, what's true for me is true for me. But you know what? If they both step off the ledge together, whether you believe in gravity or not, you're going to fall. The evolutionary theory has influenced all of society, and we've suffered the consequences. But we have to take a stand for that which is right and against that which is wrong. I trust that as we as pastors learn what it means to earnestly contend for the faith, we will take our stand in a loving manner. We'll continue the study of this topic the next time we're together. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.